Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Susie Hansen. That's Albert Kim performing music by Frédéric Chopin at last year's Dakota Sky International Piano Festival. The 11th annual Dakota Sky event began yesterday. It's got a new name and a new venue. Co-founder Andrew Reinartz joins us from our University of Sioux Falls studio to tell us more. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, Susan. How are you? Great to be with you.
Yes, thanks. I'm doing well. A bit nervous trying to fill Lori's shoes, but we're getting it done, and I'm so glad you could be here.
Those are big shoes to fill, but I'm sure you're doing admirably.
So, Andrew, the Dakota Sky event has gone through a bit of an evolution. Tell us more.
Yeah, so we're actually entering our 11th season, which is almost... I don't know. It's almost impossible for me to believe. It seems like it was only a couple years ago. Paul and I were 22 at the time, sitting at a coffee shop in Sioux Falls when he was back performing with the symphony, talking about this crazy idea of starting a full festival here
in
Sioux Falls.
And we should say Paul Sanchez,
Dr. Paul Sanchez, the other founder of the festival. So we went through 10 seasons of evolving as we went all the way up to a little over a 2-week festival with multiple concerts and 12 guest artists coming and going. And what we really found the last couple of years is the Young Artist Program, which was our summer camp, was really becoming more and more the focus of what our goals for the organization were. And so actually this year, for our 11th season, we've kind of renamed ourselves. We're now the Dakota Sky Academy. So we really are kind of really better reflecting the educational focus of our programs. Now, that being said, as you kind of heard a little bit of Dr. Albert Kim on the lead-in, we're still having multiple recitals throughout the week. We're doing two concerts, and then the kids also have a performance. So there's still world-class performances from the guest artists, both for the public and then also because for the students to see their teachers really in performance is a big deal. And then also to kind of keep everything contained and in one location, we're now doing all of our activities at Augustana University here in Sioux Falls.
Okay, so tell me, let's get back to the need that you and Paul saw and are trying to meet with this event.
Yeah, you know, the kind of twofold. When we were first talking about this, and I think really our mission, even though our activities have sort of evolved and shifted to fill the specific needs, I think our core mission since the beginning has kind of been twofold, one of which is other than camp-type activities, there's really not very much for fine arts in the summer in the area. You have Jazz Fest, and that's kind of it. I mean, so many organizations run on school year calendar, academic calendar-type approaches. So some of it was just bringing in high-quality performances in a time where not a whole lot is going on in the city and in the region. But then the second thing, which is kind of our primary focus from the beginning, I'm not a pianist, but I'm a bass player and have been involved in a lot of other educational activities. And both Paul and I had to leave to get the type of educational opportunities that we could really really pursue to help us grow as much as we could. So Paul was constantly going to TCU for summer camps.
And Texas Christian University.
Yes, Texas Christian University, where he ended up studying for his undergraduate degree. And there are great opportunities. I went to Augustana Music Camp, which was an unbelievable opportunity. I know many of the universities have summer camps, but the really in-depth, detailed work that you can do in these kind of more one-on-one settings just wasn't really being offered in the area. And at least for piano students, we want to be able to provide that type of an experience so that people can stay here. And this year, not only do we have Sioux Falls and other regional South Dakota students, but I mean, it's now a destination. We have students from Oregon and South Carolina coming in this year.
Really? From that far away.
Yeah, from that far away. Many of them have connections to some of the guest artists, but nonetheless, it's becoming a destination for educational activities.
How many students do you have involved this year?
So this year we have 7. We kind of keep it capped between 7 and 12, largely because the goal is, instead of kind of breadth, we're going for depth. So the students have 8 days of pretty rigorous activity. I mean, they're kind of from, it's just about 12 hours a day, all things considered. You know, we have morning group lesson sessions and then special kind of topics every afternoon, combined with one-on-one coachings with the guest artists in the afternoons. They go to all the concerts, and then we have kind of a unique thing that really stemmed from an experience Paul had with the pianist Barry Douglas, who's in the piano world a very well-known name. So he was at a camp, and one time he was just walking through the dorms, saw a group of the kids talking, and decided to just stop and chat with them. I mean, this is one of the top 10 pianists in the world, and he just went and hung out, sat on the couch, had pizza with them, and just kind of, and Paul said that was probably the highlight of the entire thing.
Had the most impact on him, probably.
Yep, definitely. You know, so we try to replicate that a little bit. You know, we have a lot of kind of informal time with the students where they get to just ask, what is it like to have a career in music, or what is it like to love music and study it deeply and then do a different thing for a career? You know, all of those kinds of topics, as well as just kind of getting to know each other. And then actually we'll be down in your neck of the woods on Thursday. Another exciting thing we get to do is get a private tour of the many of the keyboard instruments at the Shrine to Music Museum down in Vermilion. And that's really fun because some of the instruments the students actually get to play. So they get to see. So I've been working on this Mozart piece. What is it like to actually play it on a Mozart-era pianoforte?
And that's something they're not going to get anywhere else in the country.
No, because that is a gem of a facility. I wish more and more people around the state really knew just how important that place is.
So as a former piano student who got to play some of those keyboard instruments at the museum, I understand the value of it. And as a classical piano kid who I went to camps and things like this throughout my whole childhood and teen years, and I understand what the individual pianists get out of this and how it helps them grow in some of these things you were talking about. But can you talk a bit about what you, the professional adult musicians, get out of participating in this?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, I can play chopsticks. I can play, you know, maybe I can read a right-hand melody. I mean, my piano skills, I kind of got through piano proficiency in college by chatting up my teacher quite a bit. She's a really wonderful woman. She ended up being on our board as well, Arlene Kruger. She's a great supporter, but I think she and I had more conversations about music and life than me actually really playing piano. And I've lost most of that since then. But what I get, A, is just being around other people that share your passion for the arts. You know, whether you're classical musician, jazz, rock, anything, just being surrounded by people at the top of their craft just makes you better. As well as being able to really participate in discussions. And, you know, every artist we... after the concerts, they'll come out and we'll have, you know, not really a meet and greet. It's more of a kind of conversation session. They'll come out and you can come up and ask questions and just sort of hang out with everyone. And then also we try to provide, you know, it's a little bit smaller this year, but we try to provide chamber music opportunities for local musicians. So we've had everything from a 13-piece orchestra to the Dakota String Quartet and everything in between. And this year on Friday's performance, Paul and his wife will be performing, but then also Michael Walsh, who is the clarinet professor up at South Dakota State University, will be joining us for a work. So it's a good way to kind of make some new connections and just get to be around some great music.
Do you learn anything from the students?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Most often what... They have such great questions. You really clarify things that you thought you knew or you understood when it's really directly asked of you, and you have to be able to quickly articulate that back. You realize, oh, I really need to dig in a little deeper on this.
So in other words, you get put on the spot.
Yeah.
And it makes you a better musician.
And yeah, and you know how it is. I mean, sometimes the amateur or the less experienced person has more interesting questions because they have an outside perspective. You know, they're deep inside of music as students, but they haven't they're not as entrenched in a certain type of musical life, and so they might have great questions or ideas or life lessons to bring in that you would have otherwise thought, and they're still young enough to want to ask all those questions and really be kind of precocious.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got about a minute left. So let's run down the events that are happening this week, the recitals, et cetera.
Yes. Okay. So actually right now, part of the reason I'm the only one talking at you is we're doing some outreach concerts for some children's concerts. So today we're at Avera Behavioral Health doing some outreach there. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to be doing a concert on Wednesday at Children's Home Society. And then for the public recitals tonight at 7:30 p.m. is Dr. Albert Kim at Kresge Recital Hall at Augustana University. Friday at 7:30 will be Paul Sanchez on piano, Kayleen Sanchez, a soprano singer. Dr. Albert Kim will play a little bit, and then Dr. Michael Walsh on clarinet. And then Saturday, free and open to the public at 7:30 p.m., all the student participants in the academy get a public performance opportunity at the end. So they get to be on the same stage and do the same routine as everybody else and kind of show off how much they've learned during the week.
And if any of them were like I was so nervous about that student recital at the end of the event, but I remember how good it felt to nail it.
Yep.
Once
yep.
they got up there.
And tickets are available at the door for those concerts, but you can also find links to online ticketing on our website, dakotasky.org.
dakotasky.org. Well, thanks so much, Andrew Reinerts, co-founder of the Dakota Sky Piano Academy. That website again, dakotasky.org. Thanks so much for being with me today, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. It's great to talk with you as always, and hope to be in the same room next time.
Sure thing. Bye-bye. Let's hear a bit now from another performance by Albert Kim from last year's Dakota Sky event. And when we return, 20 years of authentic storytelling with the Moth. We hear from the organization's artistic director. Stay tuned.